Ladies and gentlemen, I want to discuss with you tonight is a continuation of last week, a kind of the flip case. In other words, last week we spoke about how sometimes I lend you $100 and I get $100 back and there still is an issur of ribis. Because ribis devarim, like you go out of your way, you say thank you too much, it's too effusive. So those cases can be forbidden. Now what we'll discuss tonight is actually a situation that I lend you $100, I get $120 back, and it's still permitted. Like, how the heck does that work, no? I lend you a certain amount of money, right? And you get more back, and it still is permitted. So what we'll talk about is as follows. And my sources really have, like, very little to do with what we'll discuss, but we'll kind of reference them occasionally. The first way that I could get more money back than I lend is if, let's say, I have to withdraw money from the bank to lend money to you. No?
Yeah.
You want to borrow, okay, we'll say $100, now we'll move it up to like $2,000. You want to borrow $2,000 from me. I don't carry $2,000 around in my wallet. So I go to the bank, and I withdraw $2,000. And then I pass that on to you as a loan. Everything is grand so far, right? But here's the thing. Let's say I'm not withdrawing money from the bank. Let's say I'm cashing in a CD in order to make the loan to you. Right? Okay. Now it's getting more exciting. Now when I cash in the CD in order to make a loan, I get charged certain fees for cashing in that CD. No?
Yeah.
Now, am I allowed to pass that on to you? I withdraw we'll use $1,000 just as an easy number, but I withdraw $1,000. I have to pay a $100 fee because I'm withdrawing that money earlier than, right, it's supposed to be withdrawn. Am I allowed to pass that on to you?
Probably not.
I'm lending you $1,000. But in order to lend you $1,000, it cost me $1,100. So I'm going to say, hey, Lev, this ain't fair, right? Why should I have to spend an extra $100 to lend you money? So am I allowed to pass that expense on to you? What would you say?
Probably not.
Probably not. Sounds improper, right? Sounds wrong. Because you're getting $1,000, how can you pay
$1,100?
The answer is, well, from my perspective, I just lost $1,100. So the poskim all say that I am allowed to charge you. I am. It is permitted for me to charge you for the money that I lost. But I cannot charge you for the money I did not gain. Meaning, okay, when I have money in the bank, so the money I have in the bank would earn money, right? That's called interest. That is what makes the world go round. Right, I can't charge you for the interest that I lost, but I can charge you for the fees that I incurred. Right, that makes sense. Okay, now let's give you another case. Let's say, let's say I have to, in order to lend you $1,000, I sell my dining room chairs. And my dining room table and chairs to get $1,000. I'm a tzaddik, by the way. Totally obvious, right? I'm a big tzaddik. So I sell my dining room table and chairs in order to lend you $1,000. But here's the thing. If I would want to sell my dining room table and chairs, I would really, ideally, wait it out a couple of weeks to get a good price. But now I'm selling the chairs right now. It's a fire sale. So I get less money than I would have gotten otherwise. So I could have gotten $1,200 for my dining room table and chairs, but I only got $1,000. Because I need the $1,000 now to do you a big favor, to lend you $1,000. Again, I'm a tzaddik. Right? That's the basic theme of tonight. I'm a big tzaddik. So now, and humble also. Right? So now...
What about my
name? So now, am I allowed to pass that charge on to you? So that the poskim say, I can't pass that on to you, because really that is money that I could have earned rather than what I had. You see, merchandise has a certain flex in the pricing, no? A table and chairs could be worth $1,000, could be $1,200, depending on a whole host of factors. So effectively, most poskim say, right, the consensus views of most poskim is that if I withdraw money from a CD and I pay a fee, I could pass that fee on to you. The penalty that I pay for withdrawing money early, I could pass on to you. But the fact that I sell my chairs and table, that I cannot pass on to you.
But if I have to buy a folding table to replace my dining room set.
So if I have to buy a folding table to replace my dining set, I can't pass that on to you. Because I'm buying that myself.
So here is
the weird thing. There is no clear din in Shulchan Aruch that says I'm allowed to pass my losses on to you. This is just that we are using our noggins to the best of our ability and trying to figure this out logically, and it gets a little sticky. For example, okay, I want to withdraw money to loan you money. I have money in Apple Bank here in the Heights. Apple Bank is it's slower than frozen molasses, right?
Yeah.
Am I right? Everyone agreed? Right? So I have to take off half a day of work in order to get money. By the way, I'm not making this up. This could happen. To get money from Apple Bank, right? I have to take off half a day of work. I'm losing money. Am I allowed to pass that on to you? So most poskim say that you are not allowed to pass money on if it is not a quantifiable amount. It's work, it's somewhat quantifiable, but often people will lose half a day of work just for the heck of it.
And some people are salaried, but some people aren't.
So some people are salaried, some people aren't. Some people just do a favor that will take half a day of work, and that's not something that people automatically charge for, so therefore I can't pass it on to you.
But if you lose your wages for half a day.
So if I lose my wages for half a day, so again, some poskim say I could pass it on to you. The Bris Yehuda, he was a banker. He's a maker. He says, I could pass my lost wages on to you. But others say, you know what? Anything that people would sometimes do as a favor, or anything people sometimes, like, for example, I had a kid who was sick this week, right? This is like kind of standard. So when the kid is sick, you end up, by the way, it doesn't bother me all that much, but I have to cancel a meeting sometimes. I'm a big tzaddik, obviously. Right? But I'm canceling on the meeting. Why? I have to take care of a sick kid. Right? So people would do that. They would lose a little bit of work, a few hours of work here and there, like without a big deal. So most poskim say, you know what, you can't ask the borrower to reimburse for that. However, let's say, in order to get the money to lend you, I have to travel to a distant village to go to Apple Bank's other branch, right? It's really far away. So people often get paid to make these type of far trips. Then I can pass it on to you. What we are doing over here is, what?
You can or cannot?
I can. Because if it's something that people would get paid for normally, I don't get paid. Right? Or I wouldn't, you know, I mean, just without batting an eyelash, I'd take time off from work so that I can't pass on to you. But if it's a big deal, it means traveling to a different town, that I am allowed to pass on. Now, why is this relevant? So besides the fact that I think this is interesting, some others get bored with this, but I think this is relevant because of the following thing. There are institutions in the world. Actually, my father oversees one of these. My father oversees a gemach, which is a free loan society. My father oversees it in Lawrence. The cool thing about the Gemach in Lawrence, actually, is when a lot of people were out of work, my father asked me to ask Rav Shechter a shaila at one point, is the Gemach supposed to give a guy money? The guy was out of work, but he didn't want people in town to know that he's out of work. And he wanted to drive a fancy car.
Yeah.
I mentioned this case before. Is the Gemach supposed to give money to this guy to drive a car to live up to his previous standard of living so that the neighbors aren't going to know that he's out of work? Rav Shechter Paskin, yes. De machsora sheyechzarbo, the Gemara says that you give a guy what he's missing. This guy was missing a Lexus. That's what he was missing. I don't know if a Lexus is a fancy car anymore, whatever. But that's the point. So now you have a Gemach. So you have a couple of hundred, you have a couple million dollars, whatever, in the account that you're going to lend out at no interest. But you have to pay people to manage the account, right? And there's somebody who has to sit in the office to collect a salary, because no one's doing it for free. Or maybe you'll have to find somebody who does it for free. Right, my father does it for free. Maybe you have to find somebody who'll do it for free. Right? Or do you pay someone? Is a gemach allowed to pay somebody to work for them? And if you pay somebody, can you charge the borrower extra money in order to pay the salary of the guy working in the office? So this is a fascinating idea, right? In other words, basic ribbis. I lend you $1,000, you have to give $1,000 back. But now in the real world, lending $1,000 basically means, okay, I have $1,000 that I'm lending, but I have to pay a lawyer to draft up a document, and I have to pay the office worker for sitting in the office, right? So can I transfer all those expenses to the borrower? Poskim say? Survey says? You say no. Anyone?
Yes.
Yes. What?
That's how Yoyim makes money with interest. Just because this is a non-profit bank, it doesn't exchange.
But it's not a bank. I'm not lending with interest, but in order to keep that money going.
That's what interest is.
So let's be honest, okay? When the bank takes my money and the bank gives me interest, the bank is taking my $100 and the bank is investing it, and the bank is getting much more money than the 1.25% that they give me back. What?
Yes.
I'm a rabbi, so I don't really have a good financial sense. Trust me, if I had a good financial sense, I wouldn't be in this line of work. But the poskim say that a gemach is allowed to lend $1,000 and get $1,200 back to cover the overhead. However, two things. A gemach, if it's covering the overhead, cannot charge more money for a $100,000 loan than it would charge for a $2 loan.
More money or more percent?
So it doesn't go by percent. If it goes by percent, that looks like ribbis. Right? You have to charge a certain flat fee. For a gemach to operate in the halachic way, this is like the complication, you have to charge, and you want to cover the overhead, you have to charge a flat fee based on an estimation of how many loans you'll be extending over the course of the year, and how much you have to, hey.
So it's like the Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
So the thing with Bitcoin is like, you have like a certain extra, whatever you transfer it, there's like a certain extra you pay, but it doesn't scale with the cost, unlike credit cards.
Okay, right. And therefore?
It's just interesting that that's the other place that I...
So let me just make...
Right into that sort of...
So most poskim say the gemach can charge for the overhead, which means I'll get I'll borrow $1,000, I have to pay back $1,100 in theory. However, Reb Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in Yerushalayim made a takana that all the gemachs should operate for free. He said it looks really bad.
Yeah.
Halachically, it is permitted, but it looks really bad. Now, if I'm lending on my own as an individual, so then we do pass the charges on. But as a gemach, as a communal organization, it looks bad. Frida, you had a comment?
No, I was just saying, one of the things the gemach could do, the fundraisers, they ask for hopefully they have enough of a backlog that they can put the money in the bank.
So here's the thing. So some posts can say that a gemach obviously operates by fundraising, by getting money in. Some posts can say that... You know, it sort of is not fair, because if we're not allowing the gemach to cover its overhead, that means the gemach is always going to have to be in the business of raising more money. It's a never-ending circle. But, okay, this is...
How good your community is.
Hmm?
How much they support it.
Okay. Now, let's just now talk... I give you something called credit cards. Okay, here, how does credit cards work? So I haven't gotten the foggiest idea. But I just know that I get a bill once a month and I look at it and I scream. Okay. Right? That's the basic idea. No, credit cards work like now. But the way a credit card works is the credit card company is lending money to me. My name is on the card. It says Ezra Schwartz. And the credit card company is lending money to Ezra Schwartz. Okay. So far, so good?
Yeah.
Now, let's say I let you use my credit card. So, who's lending money to who? Is the credit card money lending? Is the credit card company lending money to Danny?
No.
Or the credit card company is lending money to Ezra Schwartz because my name is on the card. Then Ezra Schwartz is lending money to Danny.
Ezra Schwartz is lending money
now,
to Danny.
I'm lending money to Danny. Everyone agree with that?
Yes.
Right? Because the credit card company Visa is lending money to me. Right? That's the way it works. Now, so if I'm lending you money, and I have to pay a certain amount of interest on the credit card, like a small amount, like 24.9% or whatever they charge.
If you don't pay on time.
But if you don't pay on time, okay, right? So if I have to pay a certain amount of money, so now, let's say we miss the payment. We miss the payment on time. So now I'm going to pay 24.9% more than that $1,000 that I lent you. So, are you allowed to pay the credit card company $1,000 plus 24.9%, or would that somehow be considered ribbis?
It's a fee.
Huh?
No, that's interest.
So it's called interest. It's not called a fee, and it's not really a fee. A fee is I have money, and I take it out, and they charge me to withdraw it. Right? That's like a flat rate, the fee. Over here, there's interest. Every 30 days, they, it's called interest, it is interest. Credit card companies are charging interest. By the way, they are earning a ton, right? They are raking it in.
Yeah.
So now, let's look at the first source. Asr Lomar, Al v'chamana amanasha titen zuz leploni ola hektesh. I can't say I'm going to lend you $100 on condition that you will pay so-and-so extra money. Because when you pay so-and-so extra money, you're doing it for me, and that's as if I'm getting the extra money. I can't even say I'm going to lend you $100, right, and you'll give me $100 back, and you'll also give $5 to a worthy cause like Mount Sinai Jewish Center. I can't do that. That is called ribbis. So the post can say, in the credit card case, this is ribbis. So if I lend my card to Danny, so Danny, right, has to pay me back. Danny can pay me back $1,000 that I lent him by giving the $1,000 to the credit card company. But the extra interest that comes, if Danny pays that extra interest to the credit card company, that 24.9%, that is ribbis.
Correct.
That is a real problem. So is there any way out of this dilemma?
Yes, a heter is good.
So you're not going to make a heter is good with the credit card company. You can't.
No.
First of all, the credit card company, I mean, in theory, I guess I can make a hitterisco one, but the way these loans work is, like, you need to buy something here, take my card, right? You're not going to sit down, draft up documents.
That's true, yeah.
Right? You're not going to do it. So the post can say, Danny has to pay the credit card company $1,000. Now, what you can do, however, is once the loan is paid up, there is a din that ribbis mu'ucheres. Usually, after the loan is paid, I'm not supposed to give you a gift and say the gift is in exchange for the loan. I can't do that. But I could give you a gift just because I like you. Now, Danny feels a little guilty because he made me lose 24.9%, right? So you know what you could do? After the loan is over, after you pay the $1,000 back, whenever you pay it back, give me a gift. And don't stipulate that you're giving the gift in exchange for the loan. Right? This is found in Shulchan Aruch somewhere here. Se'if Vav. I give you a Se'if Vav somewhere on these sheets. Maybe. I don't remember. Maybe not.
I don't think so.
Okay, maybe not. No, here, the top of page 2.
Really?
Asr lahakdim haribbis ola acher, so you can't give ribbis earlier or delay it. Keta, nasan ena vlovos mimena by yimshagel odoron. Right? If I want to borrow money from you and I give you a gift in advance, that, and I explain, I'm giving you this gift so that you'll lend me money, that is called ribbis mukdemes. And if I give the gift after you lent me the money, that is called ribis mu'ucheres. If you do it, that's avak ribis, that's ribis d'rabbanan. However, all the poskim say, if I give you a relatively small gift after the loan has been paid, and I don't say it's for the loan, then it's okay. And that's what you should do in the case when it's a loaned credit card. That's one option. I have another option, though.
Do you pay it?
Ready?
Here's pay it right.
What?
You pay it before the interest
accrues. Yeah. So you should, in all cases, when if you lend your credit card to somebody, only yet lend the credit card, somebody's going to pay up within 30 days or whenever it's due. But we all know the reality is that doesn't always happen.
Was this a recent thing?
What?
Was it before Obama, there wasn't a rule that before they're trying to make more rules on it, credit card companies...
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
Before Obama, wasn't it that the credit card companies were charging like right away?
No.
Again, I can't comment on this. Okay, now let's talk about another option. The other option is called third parties. A third party. Again, so... I'm the tzaddik today, so I'm the mob. I'm lending $1,000 to Danny, right? You owe me $1,000. Great. The Gemara says, I underline it in the next source, Amar Rava, Shar Leila Inish Lameimar Leila Chavre, Helach Arba Zuzi, Va'uzvi Laplanya Zuzi. Right? I can tell somebody, here is 4 Zuz, and lend Reuven 1 Zuz. Right? In other words, Lev knows that Danny needs money, right? So Lev is going to give me $4 for me to lend Danny $100. Now, Danny's going to give me $100 back. I'm going to end up with $104 from this deal because Lev gave me $4, you gave me $100.
Why would he do that?
He's nice.
You're a tzaddik, but he's not.
He's the tzaddik today, okay? He's a tzaddik. We're both tzaddikim, right? Yes. So you'll give me $4 to lend $100 to Danny. I'm going to end up getting $104 back for my $100 loan. Lo usra Torah el ribis haba'a milove lamalve. The Torah says that ribis is only forbidden if you, the love, the borrower, gives the lender the money. But if the extra money is coming from a third party, that's okay. So far, so good?
Have I paid him more?
Yes.
Whoa. So now, can you pay him off? Right? That is the $1 million question. And the poskim say that you are allowed to pay him off after the deal is done. If you pay him off, you pay Lev off, before I get my $100 back, so then it looks like Lev was your shaliach to get me money, or to get you money, right? And then it looks like ribis, and it looks like Lev is paying ribis to me in it for you because you paid Lev back. But after it's all done, acharei kichlos hakol, so then you can pay Lev back, right? So now, here's the situation. This is half cool, actually. I have the credit card situation, no? So the credit card company is non-Jewish. They lend me money, I pay them interest, no one cares. But when I give my credit card to Danny, so now I have a deal with Danny, and, right, there's interest over there. Danny can't pay the extra 24.9%, but what you could do is convince a friend of yours to pay the 24.9% extra, right? Now, you cannot say, Lev, pay that 24.9% and I will definitely give it back to you. But you know Lev likes you, and he's a tzaddik, right? So you can say, Lev, pay up that 24.9%
to the credit card company.
Right? Lev is going to pay the money up. And then what will happen is, after Lev pays it up, you'll give him the money back. But you've never obligated yourself to do that. If you'd obligate yourself to do it, then we get involved in ribis problems. Okay, by the way, things only get more complicated as we go on. Right? When we get into commercial transactions, I can tell you that like when I sit on Dine Torah, Like you sit with like very hush of the people sitting in front of you, they have long beards. One of them is always lying. Right? Long beards, they look very religious. But you'll be surprised how often these commercial transactions end up involving ribbis because people don't know. Right? Hard money loans. That's like a big thing in real estate. Hard money loans is I have the money, but I need the cash right now. I'm not liquid, so I go to somebody. I just had a dentura where basically a guy was buying property in Astoria, Queens. He was buying a percentage of an LLC that was trying to get a building that still existed, was going to be knocked down and then rezoned to build a skyscraper, right? And he doesn't have enough money to keep his end going. He goes to a fellow sitting next to him in the shtiebel to try to get the hard money to do it. The guy says, I'll only do it if I get a percentage in the project. Right? That's pretty standard. Now, these situations can end up being massive ribbis issues also. Forget about everything else. Right? Forget about whether you can actually buy a percentage in a building that doesn't yet exist. In what? It's never shalom ba'olam, the whole thing, but I'm buying an LLC. So I'm not buying, right? I'm buying a percentage in an entity, which is like a post office box in Queens somewhere. Yeah. That's what I'm buying. So let's go slowly. So third party ribbis is a great option to get out of ribbis interest. Let me tell you why this comes up. Sometimes you have a person who negotiates a loan, not realizing that there's a prohibition of ribbis. So a non-religious Jew lends $1,000 to some guy who doesn't really know much about ribbis. Then the guy attends a shir in Mount Sinai and hears that there's a prohibition of ribbis. And the guy asks the rabbi, oh my gosh, you know, I agreed to pay the lender the loan plus 4%. Now what do I do?
That's pretty good.
Good deal. I got a great deal. I only 4%. Now what do I do? I'm stuck. I'm not allowed to pay back
the
money. I signed contracts. The malve didn't know there's an issur ribbis. The love, the lender didn't know there's an issur ribbis. The borrower didn't know there's an issur ribbis. But now you found out. So what do you do now? So you go to the rabbi and you say, Rabbi, I got a problem. So now, the rabbi has a few options. Bad rabbinics is, I'm sorry, you're going to burn in hell. That's bad rabbinics, right? Bad rabbinics is also, right, what we would call rabbinic malpractice, would be, what's the problem, ribbis? Right? Write a document, write a heter, you can't write a heter iska after the deal's done. Write a document. No, that's also, that's rabbinic malpractice. Good rabbinics would be that the rabbi says, you know what, you can't back out of this deal. You agree to pay the lender, right, 4%, but halakhically you're not allowed to. Let me try to help you out. I have a friend. I call my wealthy balabas. I say, you got to do a favor over here and pay so-and-so X amount of money by next week. And the guy's like, Rabbi, for you? Okay. And the borrower is sitting there, and the borrower's like, oh, yeah, who was that on the other end? Oh, Shmendrick. Oh, Shmendrick, such a wonderful guy. I'm going to pay him back. Beautiful! Right? That's the way you arrange it. And there's zero issur of ribbis in that case because you just arranged for a third party to pay up. Lo asra Torah ella ribbis haba'a milove lemalve. So far, so good?
Okay.
I got a shayla today. A guy, a student of mine, walks into my office. I don't think he knew that I was like preparing the shiur on ribbis. He walks into my office. He said he's bothered by the following shayla. He lent his credit card to another guy. And the guy paid up on time. So what would be the ribbis issue? He was like, I'm nervous because it was a significant amount of money and I got points.
Oh.
Points. Right? So is there ribbis on points? Right? Because ultimately, I'm getting back more than I...
But he's not giving it to you.
Oh, excellent. Because who's giving me the points?
The credit card company.
Lo asra Torah ella ribbis habami lo velamalve. In other words, if Danny would give me the points, it would be a problem. But over here, Danny's giving me $1,000 back or whatever it is. And I get the points from some deus ex machina or whatever. Like, that's where I'm getting my points from. Great, wonderful, not a problem. That's what I told him, I think, right? But it's great that the guy thought of the shayla. Right? it takes a certain degree of sophistication to even think of these questions. Now, so far we have a few ways that you could get more money back than you lent out. One is you get paid for the losses that you incurred. Another way is if the payment comes from some other party, the third party. There's another way that you could get money, extra money back, which is a little complicated, but it goes as follows. I mentioned the case of how I had to sell my dining room set in order to get money to pay you back. But let's take it the other way. Let's say I lend you $1,000 cash. You don't have $1,000 to pay me back. You want to sell the dining room set to pay me back, right? Or, let's say you don't want to sell the dining room set. You're going to say, Rabbi, I see, you know what, you don't have a nice dining room set. You're eating on, you know, an IKEA table or something that was built in Sweden. And so I'm going to give you my dining room set as payment for the loan. So now, here's the thing. As a matter of halacha, we would have to assess the value of the dining room set based on what it was worth at the time when the loan was extended. Because you owe me $1,000 based on January 9th, right? Now, on January 9th, what was the dining room set worth? Right? That's really what we would... If the dining set was worth $1,000 then... So then I could give you the dining room set now, even though now it is worth $1,200 in theory.
Why would you want to do that?
Because you don't have cash.
No, why do you assume the thing would appreciate it?
Okay, Frida, first rule, we don't ask why.
We do.
No, I don't know.
It was made by a famous woodworker and they died.
Oh, okay, alright.
Okay, thank you. Fine, let's just talk a little bit more of other situations of ribbis. Remember, there's no prohibition of ribbis to a non-Jew. Right? We mentioned that the ribbis is fundamentally permitted. It should be okay that money earns money. But there's a special halacha the Torah sets forth that we don't want people to earn money. We don't want Jews to earn money from doing chesed. So there's a deal among Jews not to charge ribbis, but to non-Jews, you're allowed to go by what the law should be, and you charge interest, you pay interest to non-Jews, everything is great. Okay, so I have a bank. The bank is a non-Jewish bank. What do you mean by non-Jewish bank? The majority of the shareholders are non-Jews. The majority of the stakeholders, of the people who really can make decisions, the board, everyone is non-Jewish. But you have a teller in the bank. The teller is a Jew. A Jew comes into the bank. The Jew wants to borrow money.
He's not borrowing from the teller.
But doesn't it look like a Jew is lending another Jew money and then they're going to get ribbis back? Because that's really the way it looks. Is there an isser of maris ayin on ribbis in this case?
Well,
so the poskim say that there is maris ayin on ribbis, but only in a private setting. In other words, if I want to lend Danny, there's a guy who wants to lend $1,000. Actually, in that real estate deal, the money was coming from some Russian oligarch. I'm not sure if that guy was Jewish or not. Whatever, but you never know. But so there's a non-Jew who's really, it's his money, her money, and the Jew is working for the non-Jew to extend the loan. That looks like maris ayin. Because push comes to shove, the only people who are holding the money, right, are two Jews.
But it's not the Jew's money.
Even so, that's called maris ayin. Right, if you would take a, actually, my friend Chaim Seiman is the one who gave me this mashal. There's a difference between a movie and a still picture. Maris Ayin involves looking at life with a still picture rather than the movie shot. Right? If I look at, I take a still picture now, right? So you have a Jew lending money to a Jew, getting money back, ribbis.
You don't know the backstory.
You don't know the backstory. You don't know the whole movie. You don't know the whole background. right? But that's what Maris Ayin is. However, if I work in a bank, so everybody knows that because I work in a bank, I'm extending a loan to you. So everybody knows that you have like one of those beautiful bank teller outfits. They don't exist, right? You have one of those bank outfits. So in that case, it is going to be...
Huh? You're sitting behind the grill.
You're sitting behind the grill. So, of course, in that case, it's not an issue whatsoever. Yeah?
So can't you just get out of that and say, well, we're both Jewish, so I'm not going to do the transaction. I'm going to give it to my friend who's to do the transaction who's non-Jewish. Meaning, to do the loan.
Okay, right, so that's the reverse way. In other words, I'm a Jew, I want to lend money to another Jew and get ribbis. Can I have a guy in the middle do it for
me? No, what I'm saying is that you go to the bank, and you say, I want a loan, and the person who you're talking to is Jewish.
If you know
them. And you know it's going to be Maris Ayin. So the person who's at the bank says, well, in order to make it not look like Maris Ayin, I give it to someone who's not Jewish.
Yeah, that you could do. That I think you could do.
Who knows?
There's no Maris Ayin. Okay, let me just do two more things because it's getting a little bit later than I would have liked. So the last thing I want to talk about is stucco boxes. Okay? Where's our stucco box? So you have a stucco box. And it's stucco box has money in it. Let's say I have a stucco box at home. And I need some money. Am I allowed to take money out of my pushka that says YRSRH on it? Am I allowed to take some money out, use the money, and then put the money back? And then I'll give a little more money because it's not nice to YRSRH. I just pilfer from their pushka. So am I allowed to do that? This is not such an uncommon case that people need like a little bit of change. You have a lot of money sitting around at home. You have a big pushka. You'll take out a few. I have in my office right over here. I have like one of these gigantic jars. That's where people put money in like Pesach time when we sell chametz, right? And like so, the change, you know, once every 5 years, you go to the have to do it soon, I guess. Right? Once every couple of years, you go to the bank and you pour it in their machine, and they tell you.
Those machines have been.
Okay, so I don't know what you do. You have to count the money. So what do I do? Am I allowed to take money out of the tzedakah box, right? And I'll give a little bit more money back. So as a matter of halacha, it goes like this. A tzedakah is allowed to receive ribbis d'rabbanan. Unless it was negotiated beforehand, we allow tzedakahs to receive ribbis. So over here, it wasn't negotiated beforehand that there's going to be ribbis, because I'm not saying, oh, I'm taking a dime in order to give back 12 cents. I just take a dime. Later I decide to give back 12 cents. That's okay. However, here's the question. Do I have a right to take YRSRH's money or Mount Sinai Jewish Center's money? Right?
Does it even belong to them yet?
Who does the pushka belong to? The money in the tzedaka box. Who owns it? This is actually conceptually a very complicated question.
Yeah.
Is it still my money until I bring it to the show office?
That doesn't have any label. Like some pushkas have like the whatever the charity is. But that one
this says
like,
Mount Sinai Jewish Center.
Oh, okay.
It was just.
Well, they're also like the ones you get at like Judaica gift shops, which just say.
Right. So just said stucco. So here's the thing: is it still mine? If it's still mine, so there's no issue of ribbis when I take 10 cents in my right hand and give 12 cents to my left hand.
But my hekdesh would be meila. You've designated an animal.
So I'm not. So maybe I'm not allowed to take the money at all if it belongs to YRSRH. It's not mine anymore, even though it's in my dining room. It's right next to my leichter. That's where people keep stucco boxes, because the tradition is you put a little stucco in right before you light candles, right? So, are you allowed to do it? So this is a big discussion post. It involves a sugya of kelav shelo keach precious mocher. Let's say you have a barrel in my house. Is your barrel able to be kona when it's in my house? The pushka belongs to Mount Sinai, or Breuers. Right? Can the Pushka be kohenet for Mount Sinai Breis when it's in my house still? Or do I assume that anything that's in my house is fundamentally mine? It's not a simple question. Most poskim assume that we will only allow you to take money out of the Pushka if you know that Mount Sinai or Breuers or whoever will give you money, will give you permission to take money out of the Pushka. And if they give you permission to take out, but it's not your money, then there's an Issa Ribbis. If it's my money still, there's no Issa Ribbis because I'm giving from my right hand to the left hand. But if it's not my money, so then it's an Issa Ribbis, but it's permitted Ribbis because it's Ribbis to a Tztaka, which is permitted.
But before you said Gemach would be a problem. Gemach is also stuck.
A Gemach cannot charge, though, Ribbis de Oraisa. If you're a Gemach and I lend you $1,000 with a signed deal, like you're paying $1,200 back, that's Ribbis de Oraisa. A Gemach can't do that. It can only do that to cover the overhead. But if it's Ribbis de Rabbanon, if there's no guarantee of how much it'll come back, or it wasn't negotiated at the beginning, so then the Gemach's allowed to do it. Yeah. Saul, so, you had a comment? Okay.
I was just saying that the Gemach is giving the Ribbis would be coming from the
so the Ribbis is coming from the Gemach?
No, the Ribbis would be coming from the Anu, not to the Anu.
Okay.
In terms of the actual person.
So basically, what we have over here are some of the halachos of Tztaka by Ribbis. I think I have a section on these. It's somewhere I give you some of the Hebrew sources about Tztaka. Yeah, on the top of page 2. So these are some of the issues I wanted to discuss. And okay, thank you very much.
Have we discussed Hedresker yet?
No, we have not spoken about Hedresker. What I want to do is probably, either next week there's